Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Tony, let's go.
But I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Here's my thing. I know that there are purists out there that don't like this, and I was sitting with Ozzie and Frank, and it wasn't their cup of tea.
Now, what's your name again, little guy?
Little guy, that's very nice of you.
I'm okay with it. I really am. I don't know if it is for everybody, but I kind of look at it as a beautiful disaster that could take place.
Have you ever taped your mouth to a tailpipe of an audible, of an internal combustion engine? Oh, my God.
I've not. Should I do that?
There could be some really brilliant moments of fun and camaraderie, because clearly those two guys have a shtick. You know, they have a thing between each other.
What inning is this?
It's the seventh inning.
How many innings do they play?
It's still nine.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Well, there were no innings yesterday because the game got rained out. Yeah, I feel strongly that people should experiment. There were rankings of the television teams done. Was that Fangraphs that did it? And Benetti and Stone were number 11. That's a big jump from where they were previously. As much as we all love Hawk, and I do too. I still love Hawk. Oh, Hawkaroo. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I am here with you until 2 o'clock today. We've got a lot to discuss. I got a notepad like full of different things. I can just tell you right now that we're going to bounce around to a bunch of different places today. Because it's not like we have a lot to react to. And usually I do like to react. And I guess we can look forward a little bit to tonight and the Cubs getting back into action. And there's some things I wanted to talk about with Joe, with particularly. Ordinarily, you would hear Joe Madden with me right now. Noon is usually when we do it on Tuesdays. But Joe moved to tomorrow. So he's going to join me right at the top of the show tomorrow. But don't go anywhere. We still got a lot of fun stuff to do. Before we get to the rundown, and usually it's the thing that we do first in the show, let me just address this, because it's just, I always find it funny, and I actually have my buddy Elliot Serrano on House of L this week, and we talk about this too. Here's the thing. I get that the movies tell you, that pop culture has told you for a really long time, that people who like sports are more manly or acceptable than people that like comics. And then if someone brings up comics, then they're clearly like a nerd or a geek. I prefer geek. That's the proper nomenclature for me. Some people go with nerd, and I don't feel that way, but it's a personal preference. Here's my thing that I just think is hysterical. You do understand that you are a geek of the highest level, when it comes to sports, right? Like, if you want to make fun of the dudes that play Magic the Gathering, or the folks that went to the comic book store, or the folks that dress up in cosplay, you do cosplay every week at Bears games. Every week. Every day during baseball season, you do cosplay at Wrigley and on 35th and Shields. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah, nobody, you know, complains about your face paint or, you know, your bear hat or your cub hat or, you know, your face mask. Nobody complains about that. It's the same thing.
Tony, there's a guy who is literally now got Brian Urlacher to show up at his door because he's the king of you. The guy who dresses up in the bear man dude, he's the king of you geeks, because he dresses with a bear on his head and paints his face and wears a Doug Plank jersey. It's cosplay.
How different is Stratomatic from Magic the Gathering?
It's exactly campy. It's the exact same thing.
Or the lengths we go to play fantasy football.
Speak on it, Tony. Like these are legitimate arguments. It's like people don't understand. Like they don't understand that they are exactly what they're pointing their finger at. It's the Spider-Man meme. You just happen to like sports. And you're pointing at the dude who likes comic books and being like, oh, that guy's a geek, man. Why don't you get outside? When's the last time you got outside and actually played some football?
Like you can't run down the last, 30 Super Bowl winners.
Right.
Right off the top of the dome.
Right. It is amazing. Like I am a geek of the highest order in a lot of different categories. I'm a radio geek. I love radio. I love talking about radio. I love learning more and more about the history of it, how people do their thing, all that stuff. I'm also a sports geek. I geek out on sports. I love it. That's why I do this for a living. I was able to combine two things that I really, really love and turn it into a career. I'm also a comic book geek, and so is the rest of the world. You know how I know? Because the number one movie in the history of movies was Avengers Endgame. And even if you don't, like, read the books, your ass was watching every one of those Marvel movies getting ready for Endgame because you knew it was a thing. I got some bad news for you. Those geeks that you pointed your finger at, they've taken over the world. And they've brought everyone into the tent. So I'm just saying, love sports, please. That's how we make our living here. But understand that every time that you text in that I'm a geek or Connor's a geek because we happen to like comic books and stuff, that you're the Spider-Man meme. Because what you're hoping is, for me, is to get back to the, can you please, 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 instead of talking about this geeky subject, could you go back and talk about the other geeky subject? Because you're too geeky, nerd. Would you like for me to talk about Chris Bryant's on-base plus slugging? Because we could do that if you want it. I hope that there is at least one person who is having the epiphany. Like, oh, yeah, I guess I do cosplay at Soldier Field every week. Every week!
A guy just got put in the Hall of Fame for it.
That's what I'm... Bear Man is in the Hall of Fame because he's the best Bears cosplayer. The rest of you geeks need to step your damn game up. Because Bear Man is embarrassing y'all. You guys put tattoos on your head for the Bears and the Cubs and the White Sox. I wear a Green Lantern t-shirt. It's the same thing. And I would say that, as far as I'm concerned, I am a lesser geek than you. If you have tattooed or put a license plate on or all that stuff, you are more geek than me. I'm telling you.
Facts.
If you're running around with a Cubs flag in your car in the wintertime, you're more geek than me sitting on my couch reading X-Men. You have friends come over to your house and paint your face. Literally. And then you go outside and you go, Bears! Let's go, Bears! Or is usually the way that I usually catch the electronic thing in Soldier Field. Go Bears, let's! Go Bears, let's! It's the way it always looks to me. I always seem to catch it that way. This text says, count me in as one who's having an epiphany right now. Yeah! Imagine that you are actually as geeky as any person who reads comics.
Somebody's like about to apologize to their kid who likes comics and they like sports.
Yeah, I mean, you're allowed to like more than one thing. It's totally okay. I'm just saying, come on into the light, fam. Come on into the light and understand that you are that dude. You are that lady. What do you think Bears Convention, Cubs Convention, and Sox Fest are? It's C2E2 for sports fans. Right? Am I the only one who's had this thought? I can't be. I can't. Maybe because I'm at the middle of the, right in the middle of the Venn diagram. But if you can't understand that Cubs convention is Comic-Con, it is the same principle. For example, you go to Cubs convention. Why do you go? You go to see your favorite people. You go to see panels, them talk on, and you go to get autographs. You stand in line for autographs. What do you think happens at Comic-Con? You think it's different because you put on a jersey? It's not, because there's a guy at Comic-Con who's wearing a full Wolverine costume. And he's really hoping to run into Hugh Jackman. It makes me laugh. Okay. Yes, Texter, also Blackhawks convention. Yeah, that's it. It's cosplay. Especially when you're wearing a man's name on your back that you didn't earn. Okay. So this guy's mad because I've pulled his geek card. He's like, we get it, man. My goodness. Apparently, people didn't get it. And now you get it. And if you don't know, now you know. Tony, should we start the rundown now?
Run them down.
The rundown.
So there's no sports today. The Cubs didn't play yesterday. They were off. The White Sox got rained out. It literally says on my rundown, sports. And he's right. I'm surprised that the whole segment is gone, but that's okay. Here's what we're going to do. This guy says, the players are real. So are your feelings, sir.
It's real to me, damn it.
It's real to me, damn it. So are your feelings. That's a campy. Thanks for that tip in there. How many people are listening to the show now that are wrestling fans? That if someone brought up comic books, they'd be like, nerd. And I'd be like, yo, why don't we talk about the Royal Rumble for a minute, y'all?
It's still real to me, damn it.
Once again, everybody assumes I am that person. However, I'm not.
It's true. It's absolutely true. When we come back, we're going to talk with Robert Mays of The Ringer. He wrote a piece about all of the young Wonderkin coaches, including your own coach, Matt Nagy. I want to discuss that with him. And talk about Bears hubris, because he brought it up on Twitter. I want to ask him about that. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I am glad that you are hanging out here with me. I'm excited to talk with our new guest. He joins me now on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Robert Mays does an incredible job of writing and podcasting over at The Ringer, and he has done a cool story about the McVay effect and how it affects a lot of teams around the league, including the one that you probably cheer for. What's up, Robert? How are you?
I'm good. I really appreciated that Matt Nagy clip at the beginning of the break, because I'm writing about Cliff Kingsbury, and core concept is the exact phrase I was looking for, and I couldn't find it. So you're helping me out here.
All right, well, good. I'm glad I'm doing it. Why did you decide that you wanted to spend some time learning more about the McVay effect?
I just think it's such a widespread thing that's going on in the league. I mean, when over half the teams in the NFL are tinged by some version of a movement, I think that that's worth paying attention to. And if you look around the league, I mean, you have 15 first-year offensive play callers that did not start the 2017 season with their team. So guys like Kevin Stefanski and Freddie Kitchens called plays for their teams last year, but they weren't the original play caller at the beginning of the season. And you look at that group, and you have five guys that are head coaches, like Sean McVay is. You have seven guys that are 40 or younger, or they were younger than 40 when they were hired. And you have a lot of guys that come from that Shanahan-Kubiak system that McVay also comes from. So, you know, a lot of coaches have had success as play callers in the NFL. Andy Reid, Sean Payton, even Doug Peterson with the Eagles. But we're seeing so many guys that either have a connection to McVay or are young. It just feels like everyone is searching for their version of this dynamic, you know, bright, really influential head coach that also calls offensive plays. And I just thought that was worth exploring.
The thing that bothers me about it, Robert, is the fact that people forget about how much of McVay's life is invested in football and in the NFL. It's not like he just appeared. This has been his entire life. And I sometimes think that that gets discounted. I mean, I know that on tonight on Hard Knocks, they're going to run back when he was 22 years old, asking for a job of John Gruden. This guy has lived the NFL his entire life, and it just seems like that is never a part of the equation when talking about this.
I think we do often not talk about these kind of wunderkind masterminds in that vein. You know, Kyle Shanahan is a similar story. You know, Kyle Shanahan has a famous last name the same way that Sean McVay does, but both of them started as coaching interns under John Gruden. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's first job was not working for his dad. It was working for John Gruden in Tampa Bay, where I am right now. So these guys, you know, they cut their teeth with some of the best ones, even if they may have been given a slight leg up at the beginning. And I think that if you look at Sean McVay's offense and kind of what it's influenced by, you know, you have that Shanahanian aspect to it that he was involved with when he first got to Washington. But Jay Gruden's version of the West Coast offense is different than Kyle Shanahan's version. So, I mean, these guys have really kind of taken all of these aspects to create systems that are entirely their own. And in Sean McVay's case, it's pretty darn good.
With the Packers, you have a coach in LaFleur that is quote-unquote new school, and you have a quarterback that is as smart as anybody in the league. So I wonder, do you feel like this is a great marriage, or is this a marriage where you could have both of these guys butting heads because they both tend to have different thoughts on how the game should and could be played?
I think that there's going to be some creative friction, and I think there has been so far, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, which is what Matt LaFleur told me. And it's honestly, I talked to Matt Ryan about it because Matt LaFleur came to Atlanta when Matt Ryan was in his eighth season. He's not dissimilar to what's going on with Aaron Rodgers right now. And Ryan told me, he said, some of the concepts of that offense I was extremely uncomfortable with, but you have to fight through that because at the end of the road, this is a system that helps its quarterback. And the moment that you're willing to put your faith and your trust in that is the moment that it's going to be good for you. So I think that at the beginning, obviously there's going to be a discussion. Now, Aaron Rodgers has been in the league for 15 years, and as he told me, it's you want to lean on that. You know, there are things that you found work for you over that time, and they're going to have to figure out what the right marriage is between the central tenets and aspects of LaFleur's system and the preferences that Aaron has. And that's not always going to be an easy process. It's not always going to be an easy road to that end. But I do think that if they get there, it's going to be dynamic because I've always wanted to see Aaron Rodgers in this offense. In my mind, this zone-based play-action scheme is the best way to create openings for your quarterback and for your receivers. And when he was kind of slogging under Mike McCarthy in those last couple of years, and I was watching Matt Ryan win MVP awards with Kyle Shanahan, it's like, man, what if you put Aaron Rodgers in this system? And now we're going to see some version of it, and I'm looking forward to it.
How much of this is front offices saying, look, we have to figure out if we're going to make an investment in a quarterback, and the best way for us to figure out what this quarterback is capable of is putting him in the hands of someone who is creative offensively. And I know that the Bears are kind of in this spot right now, Robert, where they need to know how good Mitch is before they give him $140 million or whatever the number is going to be when he's up and ready to go. How much of that is tied to, since it's the most expensive position other than go get the quarterback guy, they have to find these young kind of wunderkinds to get as much out of them as possible and as quickly as possible?
I mean, I think it's that, and it's also on the other end of the spectrum. You know, I think every single team, for the most part in the NFL, with a couple exceptions, either has a young quarterback they've invested a first-round pick in or an aging quarterback that they need to squeeze every drop they can from the last years of their career. So if you look at the examples around the league, I mean, that's what's happening with Rodgers. You know, that's what's happening with a couple of these guys. It's like, all right, this is our moment of urgency. We need to figure this out. And then, yeah, the young guys is the same way. I mean, when you draft Jared Goff overall and you watch him with Jeff Fisher, you know this is not it. We cannot have this be the infrastructure we provide our first overall pick. With the Bears, is the exact same thing in the transition from John Fox to Matt Nagy. And I think there is an urgency from teams. And Steve Keim, the Cardinals GM, told me when I was there, I said, do you think this is the model? And he said, I think it is. Because if you want to develop your quarterback and you want to have a stable offensive system, you need your head coach to be the play caller. Because if you have a defensive coach at the top and you have a really successful offensive coordinator, he's gone in a year. It's exactly what happened to the Falcons. We've seen it happen all over the league. So I feel like this model is something that's becoming more and more attractive to teams because they understand in order to keep your quarterback developing, in order to keep your offense functioning at the highest level, you need somebody that can't go anywhere.
Is there any trepidation at all about this being a fad and maybe people not fully understanding the undertaking that has to go into place for this to work?
Yes. I think there's a ton of trepidation. I think that you have people around the league understanding that there have been versions of this. Think about how many Bill Belichick assistants have fallen flat. All of them. Every single one of them has failed to succeed in the NFL as a head coach. And I think that Matt Patricia is the next one to do it. And the reason for that, in my mind, outside of Bill Belichick being a unicorn, which Sean McVay might also be, is that these teams' front offices, coaching staffs, look at the wrong things that make Bill Belichick Bill Belichick. You know, the Lions just gave Trey Flowers $17 million a year after the Patriots let him go. So if you're trying to be Patriots Midwest, why would you pay a player that the Patriots wouldn't pay? And those are the things I feel like are going to kind of seep into this McVay understanding. Sean McVay is not Sean McVay, and Doug Peterson is not Doug Peterson, or any coach you want to throw out there in this mold, because they're really good at devising how to draw lines on paper. They are excellent managers of people. McVay, he thrives on how empathetic of a coach he is. There is so much dialogue in that building. If you were in the Eagles locker room 2 years ago, I've never seen a team like that. Just the undying just closeness that they really had. It just, you could feel it. There was something special about it. That has nothing to do with a guy sitting up at 1 a.m. drawing stuff on a napkin. It just doesn't. That's not the most relevant part of this. It's about assembling a staff. If Vic Fangio had not been in Chicago last year, what would have happened to the Bears? If McVay hadn't hired Wade Phillips, where would the Rams be? These are all elements that go way beyond how good the guy is at coaching offensive football. And the more teams and front offices understand that they need to provide their coaches with the resources and they need to hire guys that have this sort of foresight, the more of these McVay clones are going to succeed.
Robert, I appreciate the time. I know you got to catch up with Bruce Arians. Thanks so much for coming on and talking about this piece and giving us a lot to think about.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. That's Robert Mays of The Ringer. He does incredible work at The Ringer. The title of this piece is The NFL's Great Sean McVay Experiment Has Officially Begun. And then he's doing subsequent stories on particular teams that are going in that direction, the Bears being one of those teams. I love what he said about Belichick and McVay being unicorns. And I really wish that the coaches that I have dealt with in the past, and I'll use John Fox as an example because it's probably freshest in your mind, that one of the reasons that John Fox irked me as an observer of his was because he had all of the Belichickian arrogance, some of his policies that were in place, the way that he acted when he was in front of a microphone, although now he's getting paid to not do that, and he's a lot more entertaining doing it, without the genius. And what Robert said is so money that people think that, well, I'm going to act like Bill Belichick and then I'll be like Bill Belichick. And it's not the case. The guy's a genius. And the guys that play for him will talk about him in glowing terms and also understand exactly what they're getting into if they are drafted or traded or go sign as a free agent to go play there. Same thing for McVay. And it worries me. I think the Bears got lucky. I think they got the right guy. But it worries me that we are talking about a league where everyone's like, okay, well, let me copycat on this. Like, let's do what they're doing and hope that it works out without understanding some of the context here. That the Sean McVay was born into this. That this has been something that he's done for a long time. He might also be generational. Like, he might be one of those guys that has the thing. And I think the Bears got lucky because I think Nagy might have the thing. But if you're asking me to get excited about Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, I don't. It's hard for me to muster up that type of enthusiasm when I look at him because there hasn't been a great trail of success, even though he has brought players to the NFL in systems that he's coached in. I'm very excited to see what he does with Kyler Murray and whether or not we because I feel like we are at the extremes now of this. And I don't say that as a pejorative. I'm saying that the idea of, okay, well, the way that we used to think about quarterbacking and what we wanted a quarterback to be physically was we wanted the guy who was 6'2", 6'3", who was, you know, 215, 225 pounds, that won from the pocket. And the game is moving away from that, although I will say that the Super Bowl champion still had a guy who was winning from the pocket. And now we're really stretching that. Russell Wilson helped to kind of stretch that. He stretched it because he's really 5'10", but he is mobile and he's super smart. And because he's super smart, like I always say, when it comes to talking about Mitch, as my thing is if Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson had a baby, it would be Mitch Trubisky. That he's got some of that, like Mitch runs like a dude who thinks he's bigger than he is. Not that he's small, but he runs like Ben Roethlisberger. Like, come on and get some if you want some. But he's got a lot of that escapability that Russell Wilson has. And I wish he would lean more towards Russell Wilson in this particular way, this very specific way. People label Russell Wilson as a quarterback who runs, and I think that's fairly accurate, that he's not a running quarterback. He's a quarterback that runs. But I've always asserted that Russ runs to open up windows to throw. He doesn't run to just run. And if Mitch ever gets to the point where he's using his feet to open up the windows to throw, then he can be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Because he's got the size, speed, arm talent combo that if you're like drawing it up, you go, okay, this is what we're looking for. With the Kyler Murray thing, we are going all the way out to the limits of this. And I know that he measured out at, what, 5'10 and 3/4 or whatever it was at the combine, but come on, fam. He had lifts in his shoes, and his hair was up real high. We're stretching what we know to be what a quarterback looks like and plays like, and I think it's fascinating.
I cannot wait to watch that team.
Why?
The Cardinals? Just because it's either going to be, I think, really successful off the bat or a complete dumpster fire.
Yeah, it could be a disaster. And I I look forward to, if it is a disaster, how Cliff Kingsbury talks his way out of it.
The thing is, I get it from the organizational perspective a little bit, just because they were a different type of disaster last year. Like, running David Johnson for most of his carries right up the middle is criminal. So doing at least, it's definitely different. And you're Arizona, so this is a way, even when you're not good, to keep yourself relevant, I guess.
Yeah, you are relevant for sure. I mean, you've got the number one pick in the draft. You've got the coach that everyone was talking about who didn't really succeed at Texas Tech. But maybe we shouldn't look at that as a precursor for whether or not he'll succeed in the NFL. Although, what else are you supposed to look at in that regard? The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald and the number 25 Northwestern Wildcats this fall, Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. I'm going to follow up on this because I don't know if I did a great job of explaining my whole Belichickian thing. Maybe I did. There's so many dudes that don't want to be themselves. I respect Matt Nagy for this particular reason, and then I'll move on. I really respect him because he understands that it's possible to talk about what it is you're trying to accomplish. And let's just say offensively, what you're trying to accomplish offensively without giving away a game plan. And for some reason, there is a generation of coaches in the NFL who didn't understand that that's a thing. That you can talk about how things are supposed to work, what things you're trying to do, without being secret squirrel. Well, if we talk to you about it here publicly, then the opponent's going to know. They watch the tape. They watch the tape. All right, back out to this on the score.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Today is kind of an interesting show because we don't really have a lot of stuff built in. And when Tony and I were like, what are we going to do on the show today? I was like, you know, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I just kind of want to talk about. There isn't necessarily something that I want to dig my teeth into. And it's one of those days where the White Sox didn't play last night because they rained out. They have a doubleheader starting this afternoon against the Astros. Pray for them. Not the Astros. They don't need anyone to pray for them. They've got all the tools they need. Pray for the White Sox. And the Cubs were off yesterday. There was a little bit of Cubs stuff to discuss, which I will get to at some point throughout the show. But I said, we're just going to hang out today. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to force it. I felt yesterday I forced the show, and I went home and like beat myself up because I forced the show a little bit. So today we're not going to force it. There's a bunch of stuff that I have written down, some things that I wanted to talk about. Some of them I don't even know if they – all right, here's one of the things I wanted to get into. I'll cross it off my list right now and get into it. All right. Have you ever noticed the schedules came out yesterday? There's a partial schedule for MLB. Like, the Cubs made a tweak to their schedule, which I think is kind of interesting, which is they're going to start night games before Memorial Day and after Labor Day at 6:40. And I think that that's an interesting thing that they're doing. So most of the baseball, like, we kind of have the framework for the baseball schedule that came out. Meanwhile, the NBA schedule came out. So people were planning, you know, here's what the Christmas Day lineup looks like, and this is when this guy's going back to the team that he used to play for, and, you know, all of that stuff. Here's what, in thinking about the two schedules over the last couple of days, I had this thought. No one seemingly, and if you're the outlier, forgive me for this, no one seemingly plans sports travel around the NBA. Here's what I mean. The Bears schedule will come out. You'll go, oh, wow, like there's a city I want to see, or there's a place where I want to go see a Bears game at. Baseball, you will travel around this country to see different baseball stadiums. I don't know if there's any place that necessarily has enough charm from an NBA standpoint to drag me to another location. And I got two basketball dudes that work on this show, in Tony and in Rick Camp. Is there any place where you guys are like, man, I got to go blank to go watch the Bulls play there?
Well, not to watch the Bulls play, but I mean, I went to Milwaukee last year to see the new stadium and to kind of just do a short weekend away with my wife. So we went to see the Bucks play the Nuggets in Fiserv Forum.
Okay, so but that drew you. Like, it was a draw because you were like, I want to see that new place and I want to watch Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. It was built around that game is why we chose that weekend.
Tony, was there anything on the schedule where you were like, I'm going to go and watch blank?
As in leave my home and go?
Yes.
No, not really. I think that just overall, there's a overall appreciation of all the talent on all the teams in the NBA. And if you're an NBA fan, you have an awareness of, oh, well, this person's coming to my city, I know at least once.
Right.
So I can plan my whatever around that day because I want to see that person. And I think this across baseball and football, there's more of a tribal thing where, okay, this is my team, I'm going to follow my team somewhere else. Plus the scenery at the other place might be a bonus, but it's typically around my team. In the NBA, you just enjoy all the talent across the league.
And there's some people that are like, well, this guy says away travel is a massive part of supporting the Fire. I will tell you that on my list of things that I want to go do is I want to go see a Portland Timbers Seattle game. I desperately want to do that. I don't think that for some reason it's not this. And I just mean this for the NBA. College basketball, there's a bunch of places that you would, if your team were playing there, that you would make a point to go see it. And I would recommend, even if you don't, and you know me, I don't really like Notre Dame. Even if you don't like Notre Dame, you should go check out the Joyce Center. It's a really great place. I think the Peterson Athletic Center in Pittsburgh is a great place to watch a game. If you haven't been to the Yum Center in Louisville, it's a great place to watch a game. But when it comes to the NBA, it just, you know what it feels like? It feels so generic. It feels like NBA games, for the most part, can be played anywhere. Absolutely anywhere. And I don't know if there are any real special buildings. I think the last special building in the NBA is now closed. The one in Oakland. Some people will say, you know, the place in Portland is a special place that you should go and watch a game. But it just, I don't know, it just feels like plug and play to me. Meanwhile, Panther has a list. Like, she's got rankings of her favorite baseball stadiums. And I have a running list too. I'll go to Pittsburgh just for PNC Park because it's beautiful. And then I cry a little bit because I'm like, man, if the White Sox could just pick up the stadium and rotate it, they could have something similar. But that's a draw to me. The building and the game are more of a draw, whereas with the NBA, it's, I guess, the talent is maybe more of the draw.
Yeah, I mean, with baseball especially, it's because you're allowed to have different dimensions too.
Right. There's no doubt.
Yeah,
no
everything
doubt.
Is just so standardized within the NBA that, yeah, there's not a whole lot of room left for interpretation, I guess. I mean, like, what I liked about Fiserv Forum as opposed to any other place I've been is how open it felt, because you could be on that like top level and see all the way across the building. That was something that I thought was really cool and different. Like from wall to wall, you could see all the way across. That's something that I hadn't experienced anywhere else. And it was no matter where you were on that floor. So like, that's something that's different. But in the context of compared to like a baseball stadium or even some of the football stadiums, it doesn't even compare.
Yeah, Hinkle Fieldhouse down in Indianapolis, for example. Like, going in there is pretty great. So, like, what about Madison Square Garden? I mean, I've been to the Garden. I've seen games there. It's awesome, but I will tell you that it doesn't feel as awesome because the Knicks have been bad for so long. I occasionally will work over at Stadium, which is out of the United Center. And it does amaze me how many people do walk into the atrium just to see the Jordan statue. And I don't even know if you have to. Do you have to come to Chicago to watch a Bulls game? Probably not, but you might come to Chicago to watch a Blackhawks game because of the atmosphere that goes along with the hockey. Anyway, this is just some of the stuff that I was thinking about. That the schedules came out, and the only thing that I did say, and a texter, you can amen hallelujah on this too. The only thing that I said to Rick Camp yesterday was, well, when are the Bulls playing in New Orleans? Because I personally love New Orleans. And I would, what a great excuse. Go watch your team, go play against Zion in one of the most fun cities in America. But if it wasn't the Bulls, I don't know that I would spend time watching the Pelicans. I would just be in the Garden District in New Orleans. That's all. We can talk about more of this on the other side. There's other stuff I want to get to today, like preseason football, like Bourbonnais and the future of Bourbonnais, Joe Madden, all that stuff. We'll continue this conversation too. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.